From Spark and Anvil and Quillspell. This is Twin, in Chapter 1 of the Quillspell cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
Twin grew up one of identical twins. Her sister's name is Twin. They were born on the same morning in the village of Pear by the River, a real village, the kingdom's records confirm. Though the river it was paired by has changed course over the centuries, and the village is no longer on the riverbank. Twin and Twin were named by their mother, who was a poet, to echo each other. The names are one letter different. They sound identical aloud. They are, on paper, the simplest possible illustration of the double consonant idea. Twin and Twin grew up constantly together. They shared a cradle, they shared a cot, they shared a bed. They shared, by their parents' careful arrangement, everything that could plausibly be shared. Toys, books, garments. The family seamstress made one set in two sizes. Their sizes diverged in adolescence, and the seamstress had to start making two sets. Even a small dog named Bao, who alternated her affections between them on a daily schedule.
What Twin and Twine discovered, slowly over their childhood, was that they were not the same person. This was, when they were small, a surprise. They had been treated, by their family and their village, as one unit with two bodies. But Twin was talkative, and Twine was quiet. Twin liked to narrate what was happening around her. Twine liked to listen and think before responding. Twin would say, "It is raining." Twine would say, after a pause, "It is. The leaves were facing up earlier. They are now drooping." The two girls were complementary, not identical in temperament. They formalized this when they were 13. They decided, together, after a long, quiet conversation, that Twin would be the speaker and Twine would be the listener. When the two were together, which was most of the time, Twin did the talking, Twine did the listening and the thinking. When Twin said something that needed correction, Twine would gently signal, a small touch on Twin's arm, a small shake of the head. Twin would adjust. This division of labor worked. The two girls became, over their teens, unusually well-functioning as a pair. Twin's narration was thoughtful because Twine was correcting it. Twine's silence was welcome because she was always actively listening. The combination was uncommonly good company. When Twin was 18, she encountered the double consonant rule at the village school. The teacher had said, "When a one-syllable word ends in a single consonant after a single vowel, you double the consonant when adding a vowel suffix. Run plus ing, running. Hop plus ed, hopped. Plan plus ed, planned. The doubling preserves the short vowel sound."
Twin raised her hand. She said, "Like me and Twin." The teacher said, "What?" Twin said, "Twin and I are doubled. Our names are one letter apart. We function as a pair. Run becomes running because the running needs to keep the short U sound, and the way English signals short vowel is by doubling the consonant after it. The double N in running keeps the U short. Without the double N, you would have runing, which would tend to be pronounced runing. The double consonant is the spelling's way of saying, this vowel is short, don't lengthen it." The teacher set down the chalk. She had been teaching the double consonant rule for 15 years. She had not previously heard a student explain it as spelling's way of saying short vowel. She also had not previously heard a student compare the doubled consonant to a pair of twin sisters. She said, "That is exactly correct on the function of the doubling, and the twin analogy is frankly one of the best mnemonic devices I have heard. Have you thought about teaching?"
Twin had not. She had thought about staying home with Twin and helping her parents with the family farm. But the teacher's question prompted her to think about it. She talked to Twin. Twin, who never spoke much, even in private, thought about it for a week. Then Twin said, "You should go. I will visit. We have always done things together. We do not have to do everything together." Twin went. Twin stayed. They have, in the 28 years since, written each other long letters every week. Twin has visited the academy more than 30 times. The academy children all know about Twin. They consider her Twin's silent partner, even though they almost never see her in person.
In Twin's classroom, she begins every first day lesson the same way. She holds up one finger of each hand. She brings them together. She says, "This is a single consonant. Run ends in a single N. To turn run into running, I need to add a vowel suffix, ing. But the N needs to double. If I do not double, the spelling looks like runing, which most readers will try to pronounce runing. I want the short U sound. I double the N to signal, short vowel, the consonant is the boundary." She brings her two fingers together. She makes a pair. She says, "Two consonants, side by side, like Twin and me. The pair is the signal." The children always find this deeply satisfying. The twin sister analogy makes the abstract rule visceral.
Twin then writes on the board, "Run plus ing equals running. Hop plus ed equals hopped. Plan plus ed equals planned. Swim plus ing equals swimming. Bat plus er equals batter." Each example, short vowel plus single consonant plus vowel suffix equals consonant doubles. She explains the contrast cases. Rain plus ing equals raining, not raining, because rain has a long vowel, the AI vowel team, and does not need the doubled consonant to preserve its sound. Help plus ing equals helping, not helping, because help ends in two consonants, and the short vowel sound is already protected. The children try it. They double consonants on the short vowel CVC words, and not on the others. They get it right. When children ask whether the double consonant rule is hard, Twin always says the same thing. "It is not hard. It is parasignaling. The doubled consonant is the spelling's way of saying short vowel. Once you hear the short vowel, you know to double. The pair is the signal, just like Twin and me." She still writes Twin a letter every week. Twin writes back. Children at the academy sometimes ask to read Twin's letters. Twin gently declines. "Twin's letters are for me." But she sends her good wishes to all of you. The children accept this.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Twin. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.